Hey,
All right, we're all together.
you there, Ole?
I am indeed, Lance. How are you?
Good, good. You sound good. Did
Thank you. You too.
you have a good Skype connection?
Apparently.
There are many people who don't have that.
I'm actually on satellite up in the mountains, so it's just good that it's working now.
Right. Well, grab it while you can.
Yep.
So, what are the latest? He's setting up the recording level. What are the
I'm ready
latest?
anytime you want.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just go ahead and start.
All right, perfection. Let me just bring in your intro here.
Okay, so it's 1:10. So, we want to stop at
2:10.
yeah.
Be done. All right, here we go. We're starting the intro. Have a wonderful show.
Into a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. My guest today is Ole Damgaard, who is the receiver of the Prague Peace Prize in 2016. He is an author, international speaker, former journalist and investigator, who has dedicated the last 30 years of his life to researching global conspiracies. His main focus has been to find out the truth about the assassinations of JFK, the Swedish Prime Minister Olaf Palme, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and John Lennon, plus the terror attacks of 9/11, Norway, Oklahoma City, and many more. He is also considered the world's leading expert on false flag operations and has participated in exposing several planned state-sponsored terror acts. He has written the following books: Coup d'etat in Slow Motion, Parts 1 and 2, Shadow of Tears, The Power Book, Remind Me, and is currently working on A Global Tour of Terror, Part 1 and 2, The Elusive Enigma, and the book A Guilty Victim are other books he's working on. You can find out more on his website, which is www.lightonconspiracies.com. So let's welcome him back to the show now. Hi, Ole, how are you?
I'm doing super good, thank you, Lance.
Oh, good. Well, I suppose since we've last talked that there are a few more interesting things that you've uncovered that you'd like to share with us.
Yeah, as I'm sure you noticed, it's been very intense times. I'm not really sure if I remember when I was last on your show, but since the last few months, I was able to publicly predict the London terror attack about 1 month before they actually happened. And then,
wow.
And then I was predicting the next one, saying that they were going to hit Copenhagen on April 9th, but instead Stockholm was hit on April the 6th instead. It feels like there's this wave of false flag attacks that are all coordinated. And so over the last few years, I've been able to predict four of them before they actually happen on international radio. And so I find it very, very important to spread the knowledge about how to see the signs of what is needed for the next hit to take place, because that is the way we can expose them before they actually happen and also stop them.
Mm-hmm. Is one of the techniques for locating these events something that they seem to be doing, which is setting up some kind of drill in a state or in an area prior to one of these attacks?
The drill is one of the main ingredients that are there every single time. And the drill is there for the crew behind this false flag attack to be able to get vehicles in positions, explosives in positions, smoke bombs, crisis actors. You know, it really is like a film set, the whole thing. But they need to have this drill there to practice and also to be able to do it without us interfering. So normally they go out and they advertise in local radio, local TV, local newspapers, saying tomorrow there's going to be a security drill or an anti-terror drill or anti-mass shooting drill in your blah, 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 for your protection. So this is one of the things that we need to become very aware of so that we can, well, what I normally suggest is that people go there the day before this drill is taking place and during the day, and then just film them while they're setting the whole thing up and make it very, very obvious to them that they are being filmed, so that you know, this is a non-violent way of possibly stopping them, because these operations can only take place in the dark, sort of. It's behind the scenes that they're able to pull it off. If we expose them by aiming the light at them, it just, they have to cancel it or postpone it or stop it.
Right. And as I understand it, all of these terror events that are going on around the world are run by the same group, right? I mean, you know, essentially the same shadow forces are behind all of them.
Lance, normally I talk about conspiracy facts. Now I'm talking about a theory, okay. A theory of mine, where I truly believe after all of these years that what we're actually seeing is the same unit being transported in army planes from army base to army base, a Navy base, no, sorry, Air Force base, NATO bases, American Air Force bases, and so on, transported just like a rock group, more or less, a small unit.
Right.
No, I call them the global tour of terror, you know, like a Rocky horror show. Where instead of it being Pink Floyd that performs the same show everywhere, they are performing the same terror show. And
right, right.
So this is also why the theme is exactly the same everywhere. It's the same people. I would humbly suggest that what we're seeing is the same people running around in SWAT team uniforms in Paris, as in London, as in Sydney, as in Sweden, as in Denmark, and so on. The same crisis actors being apparently blown to pieces, the same people being hit by trucks, and so on. The same marketing agencies, the same directors, the same bouncers, the same, all of it, a small little unit that is there to create the impression of global terror. But actually, it's just like a fart in the wind, I tell you. It's such a small little unit, but since it is being pumped out through media that the same forces control to a large extent, it gives this impression of a massive, massive fear attack, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a, you know, like a boogeyman kind of blowing himself up into some large creature that is actually a tiny little entity that's running all the strings and pulling the levers.
You are spot on, because what we're seeing is there's a small little, they call themselves the elite, a small little group of people, most of them hiding in the dark but in so-called power positions, that have found out through the years, and I mean all the way back to the Roman Empire, how can an elite few control the masses? You know, how can a few people say, we want the rest of you to be our slaves, we want you to follow any orders we give, we want you to fill all our needs and even pay for us terrorizing you?
Right.
How can they do it? And it's only through fear. So otherwise we would just laugh, and you know, because when you look at the proportions, they are like a grain of sand on a beach. They are in the thousands, we are billions on this beautiful world, in this beautiful world. So the thing that they need to create is a fear threat against us so that they can come with a solution. So in times of when there isn't a war that they have created, they need to create a boogeyman. And so the bigger and badder this boogeyman looks, the better for them to scare us into obedience. But it's just like you say, it's a massively inflated creature of thin air, just really bad smelling odor. So really we should laugh about it instead of being terrorized. But because so many of us have not yet opened our eyes and started to see what's going on, it continues. So that is why I'm on this quest of trying to show the methods so that any one of us can start smelling this terror pie when they start baking it, you know, because it's the same ingredients every single time. And there is, you asked me about how to find and see what's going to happen. There is a beautiful, beautiful thing involved as well. And that is that, according to insiders that have informed me, is that the way these people see the law of karma is that they need to inform us about what they're up to. Because if we do not react, they in subtle ways shows us what they're up to. And then if we do not react, then the bad karma is on our shoulders, not the attackers. So they have to show us in the evidence, in the ruins, in the photos from the crime site, they will leave clues about what is next. So that is why my main focus is trying to find the clues, so that when I find them, I can go out and publicly say, whoop, the next one is going to be Big Ben. Please be aware, Big Ben, Big Ben, Big Ben. Any drills, any kind of weird things going around that area at that specific time, please, please be aware. And also go there, film them, help expose it.
Absolutely. It seems like I've heard a lot of chatter on the internet about starting World War III, and I personally don't believe that that's going to happen, because, again, like you said, they seed these ideas first in order to have them available as options. But I was looking at some of the upcoming anti-terror drills, and there are a few. I think there's one in China. There was one in the UK on a boat. Apparently, there are quite a few of them that are going on that we're not aware of.
I would like to put a little question mark out there, because just because you read about it does not mean that they actually happen. And
right.
I'm using my official Facebook page. You can find it ole.damegard. As almost like a hub for international drills, so that people from all over the world contact me about drills that there is going to happen in their neighborhood. I put it out there, and we put a lot of focus on them before they actually take place. And I believe that we've been through that. Hopefully we've been able to mess up the timeline big time for these forces, because it's only when they are not being observed that they can function. You know, but so, for instance, we had a massive drill, upcoming drill, they said, in New York just a week or so ago, the Gotham Shield thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where the theme was the 10, what is it called, a massive, massive a nuclear explosion in New York City, and with all the things. But what happened? As far as I know, absolutely nothing. And it was the same with Jade Helm 15, a massive build-up where everybody was, or many people were panicking and so on, and then absolutely nothing. So I tell you, we are up against the PSYOP here. They are very, very afraid of us seeing how few they really are. They're very, very afraid of the armies turning against them, because I'm getting contacted by more and more soldiers, more and more officers, police officers, and so on, that are seeing, oh my God, we're being played here. We're being used against our own loved ones. you know.
Right.
So the people in power positions are freaking out, I think. So they need to keep us in fear mode. Otherwise, we can just stand up and see them clearly and then see that it's an absolute joke. You know, it's not a threat. So this, in my opinion, all this thing about the Third World War, you know, also when you really look into many, many of the global threats when it comes to nature, when it comes to other areas, when you really look into them, they are hoaxes as well, built mm-hmm. up there to keep us in a state of absolute panic. Everything is, we're going down, there's nothing we can do, it's hopeless, you know, just let's commit suicide, all of us together. But I tell you, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So
it looks
like dark times. I think it's super positive times. You know, this is the time where it's going down. It's a showdown between the light and the dark, and the love always wins.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And having been doing this show for over 10 years, I have noticed how the times have changed, in the sense that the dark side has ramped up their various programming and events, and it seems almost like an act of desperation.
I think we passed the tipping point. I know not a lot of people are saying this, but I don't care. This is what I feel. I feel the dragon has already been slain, and what we see is the tail just doing all these desperate, violent moves all over the place with no logic,
right.
no real agenda. It's messed up for them.
Well, is it possible that the people that are above all of these different splinter groups, that are kept apart from each other and don't know who is doing what, is it possible that some at the top have been removed or have changed their allegiance, and that what we're seeing could be just the remnants of people just doing what they know what to do?
Everything is possible. I have no idea. What I know is that when you look at the quality of human qualities among these people, they are not very rich. You know, they're the people that are doing these things to the rest of us are absolute weak individuals, very super cowards. There's not a backbone anywhere in their body, no creativity, no spirituality, no nothing. You know, the only thing they're good at is stabbing you in the back, manipulating you, lying to you, killing you, but they're not even doing that. They let other people do that, so they can only sign the paper for somebody else to die. So for sure, now when they're being threatened, they will act like cowards. So they will do desperate things, they will betray each other, backstab each other, save their own skin. We will see all kinds of weird things happening that won't really show a normal logic to it. I think it will be out of desperation, because they know what are they going to do, really, when you look at it. I don't envy them at all, because when the normal guy in the street and woman in the street understand what has been going on for such a long time, how much pain that has been caused by such a small little group.
Oh, gee.
It's not a pretty picture. And that is why it's so important with the intention of what we're going to do about this situation, where I am totally nonviolent, totally focused on transcending this thing instead of destroying this thing. Because when you look at it, this small group, I mean, it's like I said, a joke. To eliminate them, if we really wanted to, nothing. It's so easily done. But would that solve anything if we killed them, if we used violence, if we used hatred and revenge to destroy them? It would just listen to the word revolution. Revolution means revolving. It just would repeat itself.
Yeah.
So this is a fantastic point in history where we have a chance to transcend it.
Yes.
Transcend it and create something totally new and I hope much, much more beautiful than what we've experienced for a long, long time.
Well, I'm totally with you on that one, Ole, and I think it was Einstein who said that you can't solve a problem at the same level that it was created on. So, you know, violence is not a way to solve anything. It's just creating more solidity to the other side.
Yep. It's their language. Violence is their language. And they are poking us. They're doing a lot of things to provoke us into react in a violent way so that they can then come in and crush us. Because they've got, at this point, they've got the muscles in the form of weapons, soldiers, armies, whatever. But what they do not know and what they really fear is that these soldiers are human beings. They are fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, you know, that have a heart and a compassion that once you crack through it, through the indoctrination and the brainwashing, when the programming cracks with these soldiers, you have a human being that cares and is suddenly dangerous to a commander that has been oppressing and destroying them from the inside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, another problem that I see is that most people have a view of life that doesn't allow for thinking that's different than we are. So, and most people are generally fairly nice. I mean, they're normal people are, and they can't imagine anybody doing something like this. So part of getting through this thick, dense fog of sleep is for people to stop watching the television and believing the lies and to consider and open their minds to what's really going on here, and that would be, you know, listening to shows like this one and people who have done their homework and are sharing the truth and start entertaining these ideas. Because once people do that, I'm certain that we will have intelligent solutions to solve these problems.
I totally agree. And for anyone who doubts that these things are being carried out and so on, just put yourself in this situation. If you were part of a small little group that needed to control billions of people, how would you do it? How is it possible? And in what measures would you take? What areas would you focus on? Would you focus on the media? Would you try to control that? Would you focus on areas that people really love and look at a lot, like films, music? Would you focus on these areas that where you could really get in and sort of affect the mind of the normal person? Would you try to infiltrate politicians? Would you try to infiltrate media? Would you try to infiltrate other areas like royal families, like the judges, the businessmen, the bankers? Are these areas you would focus on if you needed to control the masses? I believe that the answer would be yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you just look at how they've done it. They've worked for generations and generations to compromise. No, yet to make the power to on fewer and fewer people's shoulders. I mean, to concentrate the power to fewer and fewer families, entities. Just look at how they've done with international businesses, how they've just bought up all the smaller ones. Look how media now in the States are controlled by six different owners, and they work together as well. I mean, so are you surprised that you cannot trust media? Is that a conspiracy theory, or when you look into who these people are who owns media and you see their agenda and how they've been dealing with the rest of us for generations, would you trust them? I would not at all.
Right.
So there are no surprises here if you really start looking at it.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. So have you made any predictions for the near future?
What I've focused a lot on, I've been on the road for a month now. I've been to multiple different countries where I try I do expose what is going on. And I feel that people are welcoming this type of information more and more, opening up to the normal logic mind instead of just being locked into a mindset where it says nope, nope, nope.
Because
my experience is that the less people know, the stronger their opinions are about what is not happening. So as soon as you start opening up and you start seeing, hang on a minute, what is actually going on, even though it's painful and even though it's horrible, I will look into this and just see what the hell is going on. As soon as that opening is there, the door can open very quickly. So and also what I found is that in former Eastern European countries that used to be behind the Iron Curtain, they are very, very open to these things because they come from this kind of background. They have been controlled for such a long time, and now we're on our way back into the same trap again. So it's a lot easier to talk to a Polish person or a former East German person or somebody from Hungary or Czechoslovakia than, for instance, a Swede. I find people in countries like Sweden are the most intelligent, I wouldn't say intelligent, but most well-educated person when it comes to so many areas. But in this one, oh my God, the most asleep. Because also they believe that they know it all, you know, and that is a dangerous position to take. That is why I found it really interesting that this truck attack happened in Stockholm of all places, and that one is one hell of an operation, I tell you, because you have to give it to this group that are creating these events, because to pull a thing like that off in broad daylight on a Friday afternoon in central London and in central Stockholm on one of the most most streets with pedestrians and vehicles, that is impressive. That is impressive. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to do is to go into great detail and really understand what actually happened. Because for me, it's very important not to just try and prove my point and prove that it was a false flag. I mean, that has no value. My job is to prove what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing now because I'm surrounded by a small little group of former police officers, crime investigators, doctors, firemen, ambulance drivers, and so on. So I'm also just in the middle of starting my own podcast where I'm interviewing people like that as well, just showing. For instance, I had this police officer that had been into mafia crime fighting for many years as well, and I just showed him different photos. He had been to hundreds and hundreds of crime sites, also car accidents and so on. So what I did was just showed him random photos from different of these false flag events, you know. Would the police park their cars like this? Would the ambulances be parked like this? Are these damages to this vehicle? What would that tell you? What type of collision have this vehicle been involved in? this type of if somebody was hit by a truck, if somebody was if a bus just drove straight across you, what would the body look like compared to what we see here? You know, is this the way blood looks like with this type of wound? Is this the amount of blood that would be in this type of murder? And so, and just step by step by step. And I tell you, it is incredible to hear these very experienced people just say, no, this and this and this, that damage, that vehicle with that type of damages have been in a front collision, you know, that it has not hit something, it has not hit like a railing or a wall. You know, there's rust on the edges, meaning that this collision had been at least a few weeks before the date. You know, if there's oil underneath it, it means that the engine block is cracked. That implicate that it must have been a very heavy collision, not just hitting pedestrians. Hitting pedestrians would give a totally different type of damage to the car. It would be the front window, the windshield, and there would be things on the front, but nothing that would sort of totally destroy the metal on a car, like we saw in London, for instance, and so on. So these type of things, when you just go step by step by step, it totally debunks the official stories. So
right. Well, that, you know, I like your investigative approach because it's much more methodical and it's much more accurate. And one of the interesting things that you shared on one of the shows was that you had discovered that one of the first reporters that showed up on the site and one of the first people who was a witness or had participated somehow in describing the event, she was part of the Mossad and he was part of something else. Do you find that happens quite a bit in these events where other people are brought in who are just happen to be there, you know, at that moment, and that seems to be, if you look at their history, you'll find that there's some kind of connection to various groups that do stuff like this?
All the time. all the time. Lance, if you as an individual, if you had happened to be in the Nice truck attack, if you had happened to be when the airport in Brussels was blown up and at a mass shooting in the U.S., what are the chances? Quite slim, wouldn't you say?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you were in Oslo when they blew up the government building, being there just seconds afterwards, filming the whole thing, and then connected to military as well, then also at the Brussels airport, exactly when the bomb blew up, if you were, this keeps repeating, and I tell you, when you look, for instance, at 9/11, I mean, 100% of all the people that were interviewed on live TV when this thing happened, while the towers were burning, smoking, coming down, being dustified, all of them were somehow connected to five different networks. Either working in the cafeteria, or the wife of the CEO, or a journalist, or all of them. Okay, so we take the Stockholm truck attack. I mean, I have, of all the witnesses that have been eyewitnesses that have been interviewed, they when you look at these type of events, they more or less, all of them come down to three different areas. Either they're connected to media, radio, TV, media, okay?
Okay.
Or they're connected to, they have some kind of acting background. Anything from radio theater to theater, normal theater, or actors. Some these ones, they are all the time there. Or now also we have people connected to government and sometimes also sports. It is these four groups that just keeps repeating. You just have to keep looking in their background and you will find that is exactly what happened. So in Stockholm, for instance, I have, I think, about 18 people that were interviewed in different shows on TV and so on, all of them somehow connected to theater, media, or the government. What are the chances? And when you compare to, well, what about all the other witnesses that came from other different groups? There were none. There were none. So what are the chances? Then you have the drills in Sweden, okay? Were there a drill? Yes, there was 2 days, the day before, the 2 days in a row just before the attack. There were a massive drill where the Swedish security police, the secret police, and the normal police and the military was doing a drill for 2 days. They would. There was a second drill where the hospitals were practicing. Where the drill was, the theme of the drill was a bomb in the exact same mall where the truck crashed into. What are the chances? Then there was a third drill, or a conference, an international conference for media persons, where you had people from international media, the countries that that were there, that I know for sure was Belgium, Belgium, Germany, Holland, Sweden, the UK. I guarantee you there were people from France as well, because these are exact the exact same NATO countries that are being attacked in a loop. It's just going round and round and round and round. Mm-hmm. And there, the theme of that drill, which or conference, which took place like less than 200-300 yards from where this whole thing actually happened, the theme of that was how media should react at terror events. Also, people that were standing there being interviewed or giving reports to their national TV, there was especially one Dutch guy, Peter Ter Velde. He was standing being interviewed and saying, oh, isn't it amazing? Like here, it went from theory into real action. Boom, like that. Yeah. Okay, so who is this guy? Well, he is a security expert connected to Dutch media as well, journalist and security experts. Yeah. So we look at one thing that I find really, really interesting with this one in Stockholm is that there have been, I would say, four major attacks on Sweden when you look at it. The assassination of Olof Palme in 1986, the killing of the foreign minister Anna Lindh, who is alleged to be actually his daughter. She was killed on 9/11, very symbolic date, 2003, just 2 days before the election about the euro in Sweden. Very often these things happen just a few days before there's an election, because it's like the forces behind them, when they can't get people in a logical way or through media, they go emotional, you know. So, and you will see that that is exactly it was a copycat of the murder of MP Joe Cox in England 2 days before the referendum about Brexit. You know, it's the exact same theme, the exact same. They were almost identical, these two women that they hit, you know. Mm-hmm. Because also when they go emotional, it's women and children. That's the one that works, not old guys or something like that. So they do violent things against children, daycare centers, nurses, nuns, and women in general. So you have all of these children standing with paintings, you know, like after the Boston bombing. Oh, please don't hurt us. Just before they got killed and so on. I'm not being cynical, but I tell you, Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, zero dead. Zero, zero dead. And I have a fantastic new friend or friends there called Conspiracy Granny and Sidethorn. And Sidethorn, what they're doing, they're traveling around exposing false flag operations when they're taking place. Absolutely amazing. You can find them on YouTube. Just a normal granny and her partner that are fed up. And Sidethorn has just sold a property. So he has $100,000 US dollars in silver, and he's put up a reward. to anyone who can prove any real death in Sandy Hook and 13 other of these events, they will be given $100,000 in silver. And they're in the process of adding to this list in total 30 different of these events, where if you can prove one single real death, the reward is yours. And they still have the money. I would say this money is quite safely invested. I would not, you know, if anyone can come up with real proof. And when it comes to Sandy Hook, just go to FBI's own website, look on the new town where Sandy Hook is located, check the date, check the year when this happened, and you will see zero homicides. So go figure that one, if people actually died.
Well, I think I'd read somewhere that the whole town had been paid off in one of these events, and all of their mortgages were paid.
Yeah, there were several families given free houses and so on. But I really think it's even more than that, because the school hadn't been active for a year or two. There were so many things around this thing where the whole setup was the result of this. There were films being played, recorded, filmed in Sandy Hook. There were also mental institutions where different operations were carried out with horrific experiments and MK Ultra things. And but I remember one time there was, do you remember Fletcher Prouty? He was a whistleblower from the Pentagon and an expert in black ops before the JFK assassination. He's the guy who is portrayed by not Keith Sutherland, but Donald Sutherland, as Mr. X in the JFK movie, if you remember that one. And he spent his life exposing these type of things, so I'm eternally grateful for what he has supplied us with, the type of information. And in one interview, he said that once he was in Greece with the CIA director, Alan Dulles, which he was working very closely with, and they were driving down the coast, and then Dulles pointed out like a small little urbanization, beautiful little area, you know, like a small little town. And Dulles said to Fletcher, "Do you know what that is?" And Prouty said, "No, not really. Is it a holiday resort or something like that?" And Dulles said, no, they're all ours. They're all ours. And we got the places like this in different locations, different countries, and so on. And it turned out that this whole thing, families, old guys, old women, children, all of them were connected to the CIA. Sleeping agents, people retired, active agents married to each other, where the children was sort of born into these families, sleeping assets, wannabes, used-to-bes, whatever they're called. Do you know, that could just be activated, one phone call, and boom. And I believe that Sandy Hook, I really believe that Sandy Hook is such a place where the whole little town is such a unit. It's not big at all when you check it out on Google Map. It's tiny, but the impact it has made in different area is massive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back to see it. We're being played here, folks. That's the general idea. We are being played. It is a psyop, a theater being played out in front of our eyes, trying to scare us into obedience. That's the general idea. So based on the old Roman tactic, problem, reaction, solution.
You know, right. Those go back thousands of years since, theoretically, the Anunnaki were here, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago, and there are records of us being slaves for a very long time, and it looks like every civilization that has risen has always had the elite running the show, and they've always used techniques to run circuses for the masses and keeping people dumbed down and entertained, and then doing these dirty tricks and doing false flags.
It is the same, the same, the same, the same, and the same again. It's
yeah.
just that now it's being upgraded to a digitalized version, you know, more fancy, more. It's the same with Al Qaeda or ISIS. Where did ISIS appear from overnight, suddenly becoming the biggest threat ever? And then suddenly ISIL or Daesh or whatever they want to call it, it's just the same boogeyman. They just keep changing the name so that we won't get a grip really of what is going on. But it's their
right.
creation. It is their
right.
creation.
Well, and same thing with, you know, the other people that have been CIA operatives, and it seems like a lot of those that reach the top tiers of what looks like power have been involved in some way or another with the CIA.
It's, I would say, to reach a point of power, you have been corrupted.
Yes, yes.
I remember I spent many years looking into the digging very deep into the assassination of Olof Palme. I've also written a book about it called Coup d'etat in slow motion. You can find it on Amazon. It's almost 1,000 pages, very, very detailed, names, photos, everything exposing what actually happened there. But I was involved in a small group of sort of private civilians that was just trying to find out what had happened to beautiful Sweden, because it was very obvious to people that were really looking for the truth that something very ugly was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And at a point, I remember I was sitting with this this man who was he was a retired he used to be the head of the Swedish customs department in Sweden. I mean, a big guy in that area. And I said to him, I don't understand it. I don't understand the silence. I don't understand. I just get a feeling that everybody is involved, you know, not in the assassination itself, but in the cover-up. And he said, yep, that's the way it is. You will not reach those positions if you do not compromise yourself, if you do
yes.
not let them get to you. They will not allow you to get into that position. So that just means that from that point on, I just thought, okay, fair enough. Here's somebody who's been in this his whole life. He knows from the inside. So from now on, I will not trust anyone until they show that they're, you know, that you can trust them actually. And also, what I've noticed after that is that many of these people were not very intelligent, but they were put in these positions just to occupy them so that no one else with skills and intelligence could suddenly make changes, you know. So so you would see that people got fired because they were totally useless at one position, and then they were sort of promoted into another big one at an insurance company or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started looking into that specific insurance company, it turned out that I'm talking about an insurance company called Skandia that was deeply involved in military operations and all kinds of weird things that was financed through this insurance company, where the money was washed through this insurance company and then financing black ops and MK Ultra, all kinds of horrific stuff in Sweden of all countries. But
wow.
But then they had positioned their guy as boss for this whole thing, and his only task was to keep quiet and go and play golf while they were doing their stuff and using his company. And there's so many of these people, I tell you.
Oh yes. Well, one of the people who was running for president a few years ago was noted for his company being started with washing mafia money.
I surprised?
Yeah. And of course, if you open up the Clintons' dirty secrets and the Bush's dirty secrets, oh my God, we'd be here for 100 hours.
if you go down the Bush road, my God.
It's scary.
I mean, you're looking you're looking it in the face. When you look into the eyes of George Bush Sr.,
yes,
you're looking at pure evil.
Yes, yes, and it does exist, and unfortunately it is embodied in humans, and no smile can hide those eyes.
I've spoken to people who met him, you know, like Chip Tatum, Barbara Honegger, and asked them exactly that. How was it, you know? Because, like, for instance, Barbara Honegger, if you remember her with the October Surprise, an incredibly brave woman, I think, who really loved Ronald Reagan. She was working for him. But at one point, they were in the White House at the same time, also when Bush tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan. He was behind that assassination attempt. And in this podcast I just mentioned, that is called Light on Conspiracies, that will go live within the next week, I hope, I'm interviewing her about that whole thing, how it was to be in the White House at the time of this assassination attempt, when everybody knew from day one that Bush was the one who had tried to terminate him.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole feeling, and she said she was scary, you know. And Chip Tatum, who used to work directly under him as his henchman, actually, he said that he was an extremely intelligent person, and by far the most evil individual he has ever met. And that comes from a person who has spent his whole adult life surrounded by mercenaries, assassins, soldiers of fortunes, soldiers. I mean, that gives you the creeps when you hear a thing like that.
It does.
Then you put him in charge of your country. Oh my God. Are you surprised that it looks the way it does?
Well, no, not really. Not really.
So, but if I can go back to the Stockholm event, because you will also see that, for instance, with more or less all of the attacks in Paris, it's in the same police district, district number 11. Charlie Hebdo, the Bataclan massacres, the latest attacks, all of them in a small little area. Then you have in Stockholm, all of these things have happened in the same police district, called Norrmalms police district. Once again, you control key people in key positions, and then you just repeat it. And here, it turns out we have the same ambulance driver that is said to have picked up. There's a lot of weird, thousands of weird things around the assassination of Olof Palme, which I explain in great detail in the book Coup d'Etat in slow motion. But one of the big question marks is that officially there were two ambulances that came to the site, and then one of them took Olof Palme to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. But nobody ever saw two ambulances. And one of the ambulance drivers that there's a big question mark around, his name is Kenneth Lavrell, and he now appears as the central figure in this operation in Stockholm, where he's boss for the ambulance drivers. Also, it's exactly outside the same houses where they were being used to control the assassination of Olof Palme. There's also a spa called Centralbadet that is right at the exact location where the victims are lying on Drottninggatan, where this ambulance driver on national news was being interviewed. And I mean, the official story is that this truck killed four people and hit 15 people. Then you hear his interview, and he said that there were so many people that was hurt by this attack that there were not enough ambulances. So instead they had to use this spa, Centralbadet, which is right next to the street. I mean, it actually on the same street exactly, where he said that they needed to take care of 150 people. So I tell you, What he actually said was that this operation involved 150 people, and the headquarters was there, right there. So the whole the way they closed off the area with the whole area at the moment, there are roadworks everywhere, so that you have a natural blockage of streets, areas, one-way streets, and so on. So it's very easily controlled. There were four different helicopters that were surrounding the area in the hour before this whole thing happened. The police have tried to deny everything, that there were no helicopters, but people saw them. When you look at the people that is said to have been killed, once again, we have multiple nationalities, which is a standard thing in these events. If there's like 14 casualties, there will be 11 different nationalities, and that is to emotionally involve as many nations as possible. Then when you look into these deaths, none of them seem real. I have not been able to find one that I know for sure of these 14 victims. And the wounded ones, I've not seen any reports, any interviews of any of them. Then you have also there's one horrific image of a girl that has been ripped in pieces by this truck that has hit her and torn her body in several parts, but there no blood at all. So I had this doctor from London with 30 years experience have a look at the photo. She said it's an absolute stage photo. I mean, there would be, if that kind of damage to a body is very possible in an accident or an attack like that or an accident, but there would be what you call a total bleed out. You know, the body would just be emptied of blood because all the veins are torn. Here, there's not one single drop of blood. She says, this is it's not a real body. It's not a real body. And this is what more and more times we see, that they're using dummies. And there are many companies now stepping forward, supplying Capra cadavers, dummies that are, the quality is very, very high. I mean, I've had people at stage funerals where we knew that is not a real body, but they had to almost lean over and look very close to see that it was not real. The quality is very high now. But before we end, I just want to point out a company that I think we need to be very, very aware of. There are several of these different companies that supplies crisis actors and so on. You got crisisactors.org. There's another one called Crisis Cast in the UK, I believe. But the one that really freaks me out, that if you want a horror movie, go to their website. It's called crisis-solutions.co.uk or .com. And they have, they very proudly shows what they can do. You know, they have this video with a nice music in the background, like elevator music, and you know, when did you take part? When did you last take part of a terror drill or security drill? And what they show is that they have what they call a crisis cloud, where they can coordinate multiple attacks at the same time. They give an example as London, Manchester, and New York, and then they show how they have, the only thing you need to take part of this, what they call play, security play, or and so on, is to be able to go online with your laptop or whatever. That's the only thing needed. And then you have different units where that controls what appears to be police cars, ambulances, fire trucks, all of these things. But you have also a coordinating headquarter that is taking part and coordinating these different attacks at the same time. Then you also got media outlets where you got the whole thing with, you know, like hundreds and hundreds of Facebook messages automated, and people sitting there while the live operation is going on, Twitter, Instagram, all of that being coordinated. And also, should anything happen during this play, then they can just reorganize and coordinate these things to apply to whatever is needed. I mean, shit scary, because I am not laughing, I tell you, because this is what we're up against. And lately, when I looked at the drill, as I mentioned before, I was able to, the last one I predicted 1 month before it happened on international radio was the London attack, where I said it's gonna happen. If it's gonna happen, hitting Big Ben, then please let it be noted that this was recorded on the 21st of February, and the hit was, I can't remember, was it the 4th of April? No, it doesn't matter. But I lost it now.
Well, it's a good time to segue out because we're just about out of time.
I know, I just want to say, but and now it seems like they are not only pointing at one next attack, but multiple attacks. Uh-huh. They were pointing towards Holland, and they were pointing towards Copenhagen, and they were pointing towards Sweden, and they were pointing towards New York in the same attacks. So I think this is the next level we're going to see, or hopefully not, but where there would be coordinated attacks ongoing at the same time. So we need to be very aware of these things.
Absolutely. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming back and sharing your wealth of information and helping us all get better informed about this subject, which is really important. So thank you for coming back, and your website is lightonconspiracies.com, right?
It is indeed, and I'm a one-man band, so any type of donation, signing up for my newsletter or membership, that's the only funding I have, so extremely appreciated. And now also with my upcoming podcast, of course, as well.
Oh, wonderful, and I'll make sure that people are aware of that on Facebook, too. So they can find you on Facebook as well. So, Ole, thank you so much, and I look forward to our next conversation. No doubt there will be more to talk about.
I hope not. I hope the next time we meet, it will be that we can celebrate.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. All right. God bless. Talk to you later.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.